Morning. You're right. I very much and sincerely hope that you are. Me, oh, I'm fine, yeah. Same old, same old. All right, it is Wednesday, isn't it? I believe it is. It's Wednesday, the 18th of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, the very, very best among us. My band of brothers and sisters. I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Great. Should we just jump straight into it? Should we just get straight into what the corporate mainstream media are banging on about this morning? All right. Here we go. First cracks in Trump camp over Iran war and US tackles meningitis outbreak. So it's going on and on about meningitis again. And Iran. Third day in a row. All right. Ever so slightly different data points. Maybe I'll whip through the front pages a little quicker than usual today, a little bit, because tiny bit groundhog. And in the on the actual websites there's more interesting, more diverse stories. All right. The Financial Times. Trump camp shows first cracks over Iran war as counter-terror chief quits. Yeah, so I thought this was interesting, very interesting, in fact. It sort of backs up my take I've had about it a bit. A guy called Joe Kent, I'd never heard of him until yesterday, but he was a very important person. He was head of all counter-terrorism in the United States. He was an important guy. Like he'd been in the special forces. He said he'd like been deployed like 11 times or something. Was that right? Something like that. He'd seen a load of combat in action with actual special forces. So, okay. And then after his special forces career, he was in the CIA, like a senior CIA dude. And you know that if you're a senior CIA dude that was before that a special forces guy, not just an analyst, then it means you were doing serious things. You're not just sitting at a desk in Langley. You're probably out there doing stuff. A bit of a badass individual. Okay, and then sadly his wife was also involved in that world in some way. I don't know exactly, but she was very unfortunately killed in like 2018 or 2019 in some suicide bombing in Syria. Okay. And then Trump picked him because the role of being like the head of the, there's a counter-terrorism center or something, right? And he was the director of that. He only answered to like Homeland Security or Tulsi Gabbard. That was it. Oh, and the president, of course. So super, super senior, important dude, and head of counter-terrorism as well. So he should know, would know what he's talking about. Democrats hated him because he was sort of quite based. Apparently he'd said a few things about the Proud Boys, how the Proud Boys were cool or something, or refused to disavow the Proud Boys, something like that. And he'd had quite a few based takes, quite a few. Right, and okay. But he was a Trump pick. And he wrote an open letter like yesterday, or maybe it might have been right at the end of the day on Monday. But he wrote an open letter resigning, and he said in it that this whole war is just Israel's war, and it's got nothing to do with America. It's not in America's interest in any way to be involved in it. There was no threat. That was a liar. The idea that Iran was close to getting a nuke—that was a liar. Like the Jewish lobby. The Israeli lobby somehow put Trump in some sort of bubble, in a sense, manipulated him into thinking that was true, and it's not. That's a lie. And Trump was much better when he was truly the never, forever war guy. And like, what happened to you, bro? When did you stop being the never, forever war guy? Yeah, and in this open letter, I mean, because yesterday I said, didn't I, let's not call it the oil war, let's just call it Bibby's war, Well, that's sort of what this guy was saying. The head of US counterintelligence is basically what he's saying. It's like, this is not in our national, the US, the national interest in any way. We shouldn't send a single US boy out there to get killed. It's not in our financial interest. It was all just based on a lie. So, like, reverse course, he said, as if Trump's going to do that, but. You know, it's not just some random guy. It's the head of counterintelligence. All right, so I think you get the idea. No imminent threat, says Kent. That's Joe Kent. That's the guy we've just been talking about. No imminent threat from Iran. They didn't need to go to war at this point, he argues. And isn't he in a position to know? Really? Like, not just me, not just someone like me. Paid attention to news for, like, 35 odd years, and a student of history, an armchair historian. So perhaps know a little bit more than the absolute average man on the street, but not much more than that, really. He actually knows, right? He actually has the intelligence, the military grade intelligence. So he should know, right? All right. Pro-Israeli lobby blamed by this Joe Kent, head of counterterrorism for all of the United States. It's Bibi's war. Tehran security head claimed killed. Dodgy English, but there you go. Another bit of news on the sort of Iran front is that one of the most senior people in the Iranian security apparatus has been killed. And the Iranians themselves have confirmed that he was in fact killed in an airstrike. They're saying he's one of the most senior people since that Saturday morning when the Ayatollah, the old Ayatollah, was blown to smithereens. It's the most senior person they've managed to murder since then. Okay. What else have we got? On the eye paper, we'll read the blurb on the eye paper. It's about the best you get, isn't it? On the front pages of the British print media. Okay, the headline is, "Your war on Iran is based on a lie," says Trump's security chief in open letter to America. President launches new attack on allies. We don't need NATO, Trump saying. We don't need NATO. Come on, dude. One, I know you don't need NATO. Yeah, of course you don't. But that's... You call on NATO, they say no, and then you say, we don't need you anyway. It's real. It's getting a real playground stuff. It's like school. You ever ask out a girl, she says no, and you go, "I was joking," as if I was really asking you out. Come on, yeah, right. That was a joke. Desperate and completely see-through. NATO, come and help us. No, well, we don't need you anyway. Then. Okay, the blurb says, the director of the US National Counterterrorism Center quits, saying Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation. Trump appointee Joe Kent claims Israeli pressure, quote, deceived president into taking military action and urges him to end war. Yeah, in that open letter, he sort of said, I can't remember the exact wording. Well, obviously, deceived there is in quotation marks. And I'll paraphrase here slightly. But he said something like Trump had been manipulated or, again, sort of placed in some sort of bubble or something where he was made to think somehow that Iran was imminently going to get a nuke. And that, as far as he, Joe Kent, the head of counterintelligence, was concerned, that just wasn't true. It just was not the case. So they sort of... The Israeli pressure just sort of handled Trump, handled him, manipulated him, moved him into just the right headspace where they could say, we've got to do this now. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Benjamin Netanyahu hails killing of Iran's security chief, Ali Larijani, widely seen as the country's de facto leader, saying it gives Iranians a chance to remove their leaders. We'll see a bit later where it's still not looking likely that the regime, despite all of this, is crumbling. US presidents hit out at Europeans after nations turned down his request to help protect key shipping lane. Yeah, so just as I said yesterday, same story as yesterday, isn't it? Certainly Germany and the UK and NATO saying, no thanks. That's on you. That's all on you. Macron might be a bit different. Although Macron at the moment, you remember about a week ago or at some point last week, Macron was really gung-ho about it. I'll send in the aircraft carriers. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll protect Cyprus. Let us open the Straits of Hormuz. Now, it seems, according to reports, things change day by day, don't they, in this war, in all wars. But now he seems a little less, a tiny bit more dovishness about it. He's not absolutely breaking his neck to send the French Navy into the Straits of Hormuz. Suddenly, because it is extremely dangerous at this moment in time. Okay. But yeah, there's a thing. The Israelis claim they have killed this Ali Larijani. Well, he is dead because the Iranians have confirmed he is dead. And that he was some sort of de facto leader in Iran. Super, super, super senior. One of the most senior people, it seems, in the country. They got him. And then, as it says there, Netty wants Iranians a chance. It's a chance to remove their leaders, Netty urges. Well, if we quickly jump across to, I think it was the Washington Post, was it? Is it the Washington Post? Right. This headline in the Washington Post. Israel urges Iranians to revolt, but privately assesses they'll be slaughtered. Is it Benjamin Netanyahu and Israelis' intention to... It's actually their goal to turn Iran into a 2004-2005 era Iraqi hellhole, sectarian nightmare style. They've got no intention, they don't care, they've got no intention of getting Persia a decent government and a working civil society. That was never the goal, was it? Why would you urge people to revolt but know that they would be slaughtered? Israeli officials told US counterparts they hoped for an uprising even though it would lead to a massacre, according to a State Department cable reviewed by the Post. Nice. That's nice, isn't it? All right. And there's a picture of Mr. Kent there. All right. The mirror. There's the Princess of Wales. Looking radiant as ever. It was St. Paddy's Day yesterday, wasn't it? So she wears green and goes and visits the Irish Guards. Yeah, all right. The mirror. Middle East war fallout. Britain hit by Trumpflation. They say households now face £1,300 bill rise shock. Yeah, I mean, this thing won't help inflation, will it? There's no two ways about that. The Telegraph, the Torygraph, the Donald, looking kind of orange, looking particularly orange there. Don't know if it's a filter they've got on it, but... Okay, he said that, that Keir Starmer is no Churchill. Yeah, tell us about it. Tell us about it. He's an extremely timid man and politician, isn't he, Starmer? That is one thing, for all his mistakes and errors and misjudgments and everything else about Churchill, for better or worse, I would argue worse, but for better or worse, Churchill wasn't timid. It's like being a timid driver. It's almost worse than being overly aggressive, almost, sometimes, you know. It's like a timid driver that causes accidents and is a real worry. When you're dealing with something like that, when you've got a tiger by the horns, a tiger by the ears, or a bull by the horns, got a tiger by the horns. Yeah, when you're in that sort of situation, it's not good to be timid. All right, anyway, Trump said it again. It's like, what, the third at least time he's just said that? He also said, Trump says, BBC is against me winning Iran war. Yeah, the BBC despise you, the Donald. Dear Donald Trump, yep, the BBC despise you. I mean, you're taking them to court and claiming billions from them, which would completely destroy them. And good luck to you on that one. As long as it doesn't come out of His Majesty's Treasury, I would love the Donald to win that case against the BBC. And a judge to rule that the BBC has to give him, personally, like billions of dollars. It's billions. It would ruin the BBC. The BBC may well have to just sell all its assets and just completely close and not be a thing anymore. That would be good. Yes, please. As long as the money doesn't come out of the actual treasury. In which case, that would become a bit annoying. The government just bailed them out and the BBC just continued and Trump's just taking loads of our money. Because I don't pay my licence fee. I haven't done it in a while. Oh, no. I'm not giving that globalist, traitorous, paedophile ring. I'm not giving them a penny. Why would I? You shouldn't either. Don't give them a penny. Just go on their website. It takes two clicks. Type in your postcode. And you say, no, thank you. I opt out. How about that? If anyone comes around knocking at your door, just don't answer. Or you answer the door and they say, we're from the BBC. You're like, oh, you're cool. Yeah, cheers. Shut the door. Why would you give them a penny? Why would you? They're disgusting. The BBC is a disgusting thing. A relic of the past. The propaganda wing of the establishment. Of the establishment which is ruining us. Letting us be invaded by foreign criminals and sex criminals. No, the BBC is... Auntie is a complete and utter evil witch. It's an extortion racket as well. Forcing people to pay... Trying to bully and coerce people into paying their licence fee. It's what you call... You're calling it a licence fee, is it? Or is it just an extortion racket to just bully money out of credulous people? The BBC. Maybe at most, let it survive on its own. Abolish the licence fee, so-called licence fee. Let it stand on its own like any other business. Let's see how well it does. That they despise someone like Donald Trump, whose nationalism is paper thin, really, isn't it? Like, he's not a true nationalist, is he, Trump? But even the thing of just saying America first, just saying it, that's too much for the globalist BBC. He's their enemy and they'll try and destroy it. Like, they'll make a panorama programme, completely lie about him, misrepresent what he does and says. Because what? Because he's not in the same social circles as the people they like Hillary Clinton and the Podestas. Trump's not in the Hillary Clinton and Podesta circle, therefore the BBC hate him. Yeah, the BBC's filth, absolute filth. It really is a blight on our society. I would end it. In both Britain, if I was Lord Protector, I would end its royal charter as quickly as possible, if possible, immediately. And sort of on day one, rip that up, if that's how it works. Yeah, remove all funding for them. Let them stand on their own two feet. See how they do. Good luck to Trump in his civil case against them. Labour is running out of time, says Angela the Fridge Rayner. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's got no political sense whatsoever. No sense at all. Beret doesn't make me a bomber, says Jerry Adams. That was one of Jerry Adams' argument. They showed a picture of him wearing a black beret, like an IRA beret. Picture back from like the 70s or whatever. It's like, that doesn't mean anything. Benny Hill wears a beret. Oh, good argument. Good argument that other people wear berets. Oh, well, don't worry about it then. Oh, well, that's slam dunk. That means Jerry Adams definitely wasn't in the IRA then. That other people wear berets sometimes. Okay. The Guardian. Ooh. Bit rough. All right, The Guardian. It's quite a funny front page on The Guardian today. First of all, Iran nuclear deal had been within reach before conflict. No, it wasn't. Why are you lying about that? No, it wasn't. The Iranians might have been saying that, but it just wasn't, was it? I don't think Kushner and Witkoff and Trump and Rubio and Hegseth are lying about the fact that the Iranians will just constantly say, let's talk about a nuclear deal. They'll just constantly do and say that until they got one. That is true. I don't think that's just like one of Netanyahu's fever dreams. I think that is true. And so you get like, I don't know, Guardianistas. You get some anti-war boomer outside an RAF base holding up a placard saying make peace, not war, or something. They're saying a nuclear deal was close to... No, it wasn't. Come on, don't be an idiot. Of course the Iranians were just saying whatever they needed to say to just keep the negotiations going endlessly until they got a bomb. But that's The Guardian for you, isn't it? That's The Guardian for you. Anything that puts us, the West, the Anglosphere, in danger, anything that's not in our interest, that's what The Guardian will argue for and do, won't they? Here's an interesting thing about Nigel. So I, and on the Lotus Eaters, quite often will criticise Nigel and Reform from the right, basically. Right, we're Restore, effectively. Even Restore doesn't go far enough for me in a fair few cases. But nonetheless, I won't labour the point, but Nigel Farage is a containment project as far as I can tell. So that's my opinion. He's the Tories 2.0. He's an establishment shield. Okay, we attack them from the right a bit. The Guardian, of course, would attack, or nearly all the mainstream media, would attack Nigel from the left, though, wouldn't they? So, poor old Nigel, stuck in the middle. Stuck in the middle with Nigel. So, here's a story. There's a website called Cameo. For anyone who doesn't know this, just let you know, there's a website called Cameo. And if you're famous, you're an influencer, or you're just famous in some way, you've got any sort of following, you can go on this app, Cameo, and people will send in something they want you to say and some money. And so for a little bit of money, you read out the thing they want you to say. Just that, really. So if you're penny-pinching enough and shameless enough, then you can get random people off the internet to pay you 50 quid, 70 quid, whatever, 100 quid, to say some random thing they want you to say. Like usually it would be, you know, things like just say happy birthday to my nan or something, you know, something completely harmless. But then they might fool you and get you to say something bad or that's bad or embarrassing for you. Of course. So, for some reason, the Honourable Nigel Farage MP has been on Cameo for quite a while. Well, he's made thousands of videos. He's made 4,000 odd videos on Cameo. Is it worth it? I covered this once before on State of Politics. State of Politics. My other channel with Nate, Mr. H Reviews. And Nate did a little bit of digging and found out that Nigel wouldn't even have made all that much money. It would be in like the low thousands. 10,000, 20,000 pounds, something like that. So it's not nothing. But Nigel's already a rich man. I don't know exactly Nigel's personal finances, but he's not poor. think he makes well over £1 million a year just from GB News. I think he's like the most highly paid dude on GB News alone. Plus being an MP, it's like, what, 70 grand, isn't it? 100 grand, I don't know. Plus he already wasn't poor. So the point is, I don't know how much money Nigel's really got, the state of his personal finances, but he's not poor. He doesn't need an extra 10 grand, doesn't need it. If it comes at the expense of, like, your reputation, it comes at the expense, maybe, of, like, your gravitas. So people have got him to say all sorts of sort of embarrassing, cringeworthy things. I've seen a few before. I've never been on Cameo in my life. I've never clicked on Cameo in my life. I've got no intention of doing it. But every now and again, something will appear on like my Twitter timeline or something like this. It will be on the actual news. And I've seen, and just through that, I've seen at least 4 or 5 or 6 cases of Nigel saying something really silly and or just embarrassing to camera, to his phone. I've got him to say something. Like the other day, yesterday, I saw him. It was about, it was an IRA slogan they got him to say. Now, I guess Nigel Farage is thinking, I don't know, I don't really know what his thinking is, other than, oh, I can get a few, couple of grand here. At the expense of being taken seriously as like a statesman, an international statesman. You've got clips out there where you're saying all sorts of cringy things. All right, well, Harry.
Yeah.
You, well, I just said, I've never been on Cameo. I've got no intention of ever going on Cameo. But this morning I asked you about, and you said you have, or you've watched them, or you see.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of them.
Okay.
He kind of like targets the Gen Z sort of audience by using a bunch of like, you know, weird Gen Z words. But he doesn't actually know the meaning of them. So he'll just say the most horrendous things you can possibly think of.
Really? Is it that bad?
So it's, like, sometimes, yeah, it is like pretty damning. He said what it actually meant, it would be pretty damning.
Oh, really?
Gen Z sort of slang. Nobody really picks it up.
Sorry, what are you saying there? NZ?
Gen Z.
Oh, Gen Z. Oh, Gen Z slang. Oh, right, okay, sorry. This is saying, okay, got it. So, right, they've said stuff and they've couched it in the slang of Generation Z. And so he doesn't even really know what exact the meaning of what he's actually saying. He just reads it out verbatim.
Yeah.
Oh, don't do that, Nigel. I'm a restore Rupert guy, but Nigel, don't do that, please. I mean, for your own good, for the sake of Britain. You might still be Prime Minister. Can you stop doing that, please? Stop doing that. Don't do that. That's not a good idea. That's not a good look, is it? Some of the worst stuff you're saying, like really embarrassing, like. There was one or so, I can't remember exactly what it says, but it was like sexual innuendo. It was like really embarrassing sexual innuendo, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of the time it is.
Oof. That's not worth the money, Nige. That's not worth like the 70 quid someone sent you to do that or whatever, is it? Surely not. Surely not. You don't need that odd 60 quid, 80 quid. Is that the sort of money people send in that's in that ballpark, right? Isn't it?
Yes, yes, literally £71.14.
Right. How is that worth it, Nigel? Surely not. The Guardian says that The Guardian has analysed more than 4,000 paid-for Cameo videos. Reform leader says he has made clear his opposition to extremism. Oh, yeah, so exclusive. Nigel backs rioter and uses far-right slogans in video clips. But he's just been duped because he's so tight, because he cares about money, so his own money so much that he's been duped into saying far-right slogans or something. Or just all sorts of embarrassing things. Yeah, I saw him say an IRA one the other day. That was on my timeline like a day ago or 2 days ago. Somehow, someone else posted it. I was like, ooh, that's not... It's not a good look. I mean, as I was about to say before I interrupted myself earlier, I feel like maybe in Nigel's mind, maybe, he's thinking, well, I'm being paid to say this, whatever it is. Everyone knows I'm being paid to say this. It's clearly that I'm on Cameo being paid to say this. So I've got carte blanche to say anything, and it doesn't reflect on me in any possible way because they're not really my words. It's like an actor reading a line. It's not my line. It's not my words, effectively. Maybe he's thinking that. And although that's sort of true, right? They're not his words. Okay, that's true. But the point is, there's a clip of you just saying it. And I know it's not fair, right? Being taken out of context is ball plop. But you're choosing to do it, though. But you're choosing to do it for a small amount of money. They can always be taken out of context, right? You can say someone else's words, but slightly rephrase it in the first person, and then it's just you saying that thing, I did something like that. Like, it's really, really easy to get taken out of context. The other day, there was a headline, wasn't there? There's a headline, and the headline was in the first person, where it said, I gave Andrew a massage. And I read that, Bo Dade, on Breakfast with Bo, read that out. I just said it again, didn't I? And so now there's just a clip of saying, I gave Andrew a massage. There you go, there's a third time I did it, right? So, in fact, also yesterday, when I was talking about the IRA and how they launched a mortar shell into Number 10's back garden, or how they shot an RPG at the MI6 building, and I phrased it in such a way where you could clip that and it sort of looks like I'm advocating for that. It looks like I'm calling for someone to do that. Someone clipped it and put it on Twitter. But it's funny, though, because I'm not scared about that. If someone ever wanted to pick me up on that, or if the police ever took me to a police station, I'd just be, what? Look at the full clip. Look at the context. And I'll be on my way. Thank you very much. I've been taken out of context before when I was talking about the Scots being a turd that wouldn't flush. And it was in the context of the early 14th century. It was in the context of the age of Edward I Longshanks. But I was very, very deliberately taken out of context by Hope Not Hate and others, as though I thought that about all Scots. There you go. It's this simple trick, simple, ridiculous, really kind of a ridiculous trick to take your words out of context, but on the face of it, it appears you're saying something entirely different to what you're really saying. Okay, that whole game is gross and low, but it is what it is. But then going on Cameo is something, for me anyway, in my mind, it's something slightly different to then deliberately go on Cameo and get paid a little bit of money directly to do that, to fall into that trap. You're deliberately signing up to fall into that trap over and over and over again for a little bit of money. All right, Nige. Thing is, you need to have very, very, very good judgment about all sorts of things to be a leader, to be the Prime Minister. That's the ideal thing, is that your judgment is good. Not just a judge of character for all the patronage you've got to hand out, but your judgment on everything, on world events, on reality. Your judgment of reality needs to be rapier-like, ideally, to be Prime Minister. Right? It needs to be sharp as a razor. Is Nigel's judgment as sharp as a razor? Really? Like the Hypnotoad. Boomer Hypnotoad, who doesn't understand that reading out Gen Z slang makes him look really bad. Embarrassingly bad. It's not great judgment, is it? Alright, should we just move on? The Daily Mail, David Beckham went to a hotel somewhere in California, I think, in America, where he knew Brooklyn was staying, to hopefully just sort of bump into him and have a rapprochement, but it didn't happen. That's news now. That's news. The meningitis thing getting worse. Okay. The Sun, the meningitis thing. The Star, the meningitis thing. The Times, radiant Kate Middleton with the Irish Guards. The Irish Guards there. And the meningitis thing. The Daily Express, oh, it's a good paper. Kate Middleton. And people are dying in hospital corridors without pain relief. Well, yeah, if you have an NHS system and flood the country with hundreds of thousands of new people net year on year, then it's gonna, then the NHS is going to be over capacity, isn't it? It's going to struggle to deal with that. Oh, but don't worry about that. Certainly can't talk about mass forced remigration because that would just be Nazi, wouldn't it? Can't even put a cap on things. Can't put a number. More safe and legal routes. People are dying in hospital corridors without pain relief, but more safe and legal routes. Insane. The Metro. Ooh. Harry. Ooh. The Metro. Reeves bets on quantum leap. Oh boy. Says, I'll boost economy, bring jobs and end talent drain with world's first mass supercomputer rollout. She doesn't know what she's talking about, does she? She's got no idea what that is, what that means. But look, a quantum supercomputer. And look, they've photoshopped the Metro, gone to the trouble of photoshopping Rachel Thieves, Rachel from Accounts, the idiot socialist Karen that is somehow in number 11 Downing Street. They photoshopped her in with Dean Stockton, who if you're old enough, you might recall, was in that show from the 80s, or was it the 90s, Quantum Leap, with Scott Bakula. Do you remember that, Quantum Leap? It's a good show. I really love Quantum Leap. Scott Bakula would always go, oh boy. So anyway, really old TV show. And Rachel Reeves mentioned supercomputers, so they've done it. I mean, it's... All right. Scott Bakula, zibbidi-boola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. All right, they're the front pages. Shall we, before we go on to the... Before we go on to the... Harry, give my mouse back. Before we go on to the websites, let's have a look at our poll. What did we do on the poll today? We said, we asked you guys, is Nigel Farage's cameo cringe? A cool 87% of you say yes. We teed you up on that one, though, didn't we? We really just teed you up. Teed you up and you guys... Boom. Homer. We're talking softball from Maine to San Diego. 87%. No said 3%. Who are you guys? You're saying it's not cringe? Get out. Get out. You're not welcome here. Who are you? Who are you? Oh, don't go. Stay. I still love you. We can make this work. Come on. Come on, baby. Come on, baby, don't leave me. We can make this work. 3% said no, though. Oh, and Harry put the third option is a bit. And 10% say a bit. So that's really 97%. 97% think it is cringe, at least a bit. So that's overwhelming. Nigel, you won't watch this. If anyone in Nigel's orbit watches this, or just anyone, at Nige on Twitter, and tell him, pretty much the whole world thinks your cameo is mental. What you're doing on cameo is mental, bro. Why would you? Why would he? Surely it's not just for the little bit of money. He's already rich. It doesn't, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me that Nigel's doing that with his time. All right, should we just move on? All right, the websites. Let's have a look. Beirut, Israel destroying Beirut. Yep. Oops. Oh, sorry. Clicked on the wrong thing. One second. Here we go. Didn't mean to click on that. Okay. Total repression and airstrikes bring unrelenting dread for Iranians. Yeah, I can imagine. Well, it's just sort of can't really imagine. I've never lived under a bombardment or extreme repression until recently. Ba-dum. Okay. Higgs boson, that's Peter Higgs, a British man. The Higgs boson breakthrough was UK triumph, but British physics faces catastrophic cuts. Yeah. Rayner warns immigration reforms risk being un-British. Does it? Wanting an immigration policy that doesn't lead to your demographic replacement is un-British, is it? Have a look at this. Angela the Fridge Rayner warns immigration reforms risk being un-British. Angela Rayner has warned government proposals to make it harder for migrants already in the UK to settle permanently are un-British and a breach of trust. Whose trust? Whose trust? Whose trust are you putting first there? We don't owe them anything. Why do we owe them anything? It's not a breach of our trust, the natives, to flood us with foreign people who may or may not have completely antithetical views to us. That's not a breach of trust. No? To facilitate an ongoing invasion and ultimately possibly a demographic replacement, locking in a sectarian bloodbath and nightmare. That's not a breach of trust between government and the natives, no? Right. It would be un-British not to allow yourself to be invaded, would it? Would it? Ministers want to double the time it takes, so still not really saving us in any way, just double the time it takes for most migrant workers to qualify for permanent residence from 5 years to 10 years. It's nonsense. That's clipping around the edges of things, isn't it? That's no good. That doesn't really help us. We need re-migration, mass remigration, millions must go. Okay, they want to make it takes from 10 years instead of 5 years to get a permanent residence here. Not removing people, just making it slightly longer before they can legally permanently stay. Even that, for the Fridge, is un-British and a breach of trust. A breach of trust. Mad, you don't hate these people enough. You might think you hate the Labour Party and the globalists. No. They're insane. They're hell-bent on destroying our society. Destroying us as a people, ultimately. I mean, it's genocidal, isn't it? It's ethnocidal to flood us with millions of foreign people. To say that Englishness doesn't exist. Being English or British is just a state of mind. It's just some values. It's nothing more than that. There's no racial or ethnic element to being English. That's insane. Evil. Evil. But we're the evil racist bigots for not wanting to be annihilated in our own ancestral homeland. Okay. We're the un-British ones. The truly British thing to do, according to Rayner, is to allow yourself to be invaded and annihilated, ultimately. That's the British thing to do. Is it? Rayner's criticism of the proposals come during a speech in which she also suggested the public view Labour as having represented the establishment, yeah, the globalist establishment, in one of her most significant interventions. An intervention. From the Fridge, yeah, sure. She spoke at the Mainstream Group, a centre-left organisation associated with Labour. On the changes to immigration, she said there are people who now, quote, fear for their future. Oh! We've got to worry about the new people, the new foreign invaders. We've got to worry about their fears for their future. that they're in fear because the government keeps moving the goalposts. Oh, you're worried about them. You're not worried about how the natives fear for their future. No. That would be neo-Nazi to entertain the idea that natives fear for their future. That's just not computing in her head that the natives here might fear for their future. You've got to worry about the fears in the minds of the invaders. She wants to be Prime Minister. It's absolutely insane, isn't it? Absolutely insane. These people. History will judge them harshly. History will judge them harshly. Historians will look back on something like that. A piece of evidence, literary evidence, like that article. And be astounded. Like how far removed this late in the game somebody like Angela Rayner is. They'll look back on it and they'll see the nightmare that happened to Europe, Western Europe and Great Britain in what? The 2040s probably, maybe. The 2050s maybe. 2060s. Maybe even sooner than that. Half a century after that or a century or two after that, they'll look back. And they'll look back at the causes of what caused that sectarian nightmare. Just like people look back, what caused World War II? What caused World War I? What led up to the Napoleonic era? How did that happen? How did that come about? They'll look up to that, and a historian will see something like this. They'll see statements made by someone like Stella Creasy, or Ed Davey, or whoever, Lisa Nandy, whatever. People like Politics Joe, or Hope Not Hate, or whatever, the Runnymede Trust. An article like that from The Fridge. And they'll say, look, well, there it is, there's the evidence. These people seemingly didn't realise they were playing with fire. These people were completely divorced from the reality of what was actually happening. The pressure cooker that they were sitting on top of. They seemed to have been oblivious, whether deliberately or no. That's how history will look back at this, I'm afraid. Almost certainly. All right, there's a couple of things on the mail. Oh, Netflix are just completely, quote, done with Harry and Meghan, just completely. There's no question that they're going to sort of reignite any sort of deal with them. It basically says that all Harry and Meghan have got is rehashing the story of how and why they left the royal family. And it's just that. That's all they've got. And there's only so many times you can sort of retell that story. And so Netflix are done with it. Yeah, obviously. Obviously. Here's a headline. British Muslims are 5 times more likely to have a positive view of the Iranian regime than the general public and are far more hostile to the US and Israel. Yeah, obviously. Obviously. Obviously so. The idea that Muslims would come here from Muslim countries and the second they step foot on British soil have the world view and values of the average British native people. That is insane to think that would happen. Oh, get them to support England in a cricket game and drink tea and everything's all right. They'll just be like us now. They are us now. They're more English than us now. Bizarre. Here's an article. The headline says, racial tension, little to no English, polygamy, and the man who rules it all as his personal republic. I've reported all over the world, but this is the corner of London where I felt thousands of miles from home. He's talking about Whitechapel. He's talking about the East End of London. Whitechapel. Which was historically a very working class quarter, or historically in the 19th century, a Jewish quarter, but now is completely and utterly captured by a Muslim community. And this guy says he's been all over the world, but in Whitechapel, He feels thousands of miles from home. Yeah, because it's a foreign enclave. It's an entirely foreign enclave. It really is. You go there, I've been there 2, 3, 4 times over the last 2, 3, 4 years. Occasionally I would go there, right? Been in the Blind Beggar a bunch of times. Last time I went to Whitechapel was maybe a year ago, 18 months ago, something like that. And, or that whole area, it's not just Whitechapel, it's like Bow, Bromley by Bow, East Ham, West Ham, Plaistow, Upton Park, whatever, Stratford, most of the East End, really, most of the East End, all the way out to Ilford and beyond. It's like you're in a foreign country, and you're not welcome there. You walk down the road as a white person, like in Whitechapel, and you get really quite dirty looks. Like, what are you doing here? Sorry, this is our bit of London. What are you doing here? All the shops are foreign shops, foreign writing in it. Whitechapel. There you go, but diversity is a strength. Any cap on migration is off the table, let alone re-migration. Any cap, more safe and legal routes. More safe and legal routes. One of the arguments that needs to be overcome first and foremost are psychos that talk about more safe and legal routes. When we talk about the boat crisis, just that. That's like the tip of the iceberg is illegal immigration. The tip of that iceberg is the boat people. And yet you talk about that and they immediately pivot it to more safe and legal routes. Insane. Insane. We're dealing with insane people that mean to destroy us. Okay, Dubai is getting hit all the time. And unless you pull an Andrew Tate, unless you pretend it's not happening and everything's fine, the Dubai authorities might even bang you up. Look, what life's really like in war-torn Dubai, the glittering tax-free influencer fantasy is unravelling as expats are arrested and treated as criminals for simply taking a photo of drone damage and sending to worried relatives. So your options are just keep shtum about it or pretend everything's fine, like Andrew Tate did. You can't tell the truth. Might get in trouble. Okay. Is there one other story of mild interest? No. All right. Should we have a look at the Express? I think there was at least one story of mild interest on the Express. Bear with me if I can find it. No, I don't think so. The Sun, there was one. Oh, they found out what Banksy looks like. If you want to know what Banksy looks like, he's a middle-aged dude called Robin. Well, probably. I don't think it's 100% confirmed, but it's pretty much like 95-99% confirmed. Banksy's identity has been revealed. You ready? Do you even care at all? Some stencil artist, the Emperor's New Clothes, you've been told his art is of value. It's not of value. It's not of value. Really. Actual value. But there's no real skill in making a stencil and then spray painting it on a wall. Right, it's not like Raphael. It's not like Titian. He's no Caravaggio, is he? He makes stencils and uses a spray can. And the politics, the message behind it, is the most... is just... stupid champagne socialism, isn't it? Stupid. Stupid, the most weak-wristed, libtard, boomer nonsense politics and message behind what Banksy does. Here we go. Ready for this? Boom. That's what Banksy looks like. Some burnout. Some libtard burnout fat bitch. Some dude called Robin. But his stencil work's worth millions. It's not the Emperor's New Clothes. Oh, no, 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 no. It's important societal commentary. He's an important artiste. This dude. state of it. The actual state of it. All right, it's actually nearly nine. Should we just move on to do a little bit of On This Day in History? What happened on this day in history? I like doing that. I think you guys like me doing that. So on the 18th of March, down through the centuries, what happened of note? Okay, in the year 1123, the First Council of the Lateran, the Ninth Ecumenical Council, opens in Rome. Agreements of the Concordat of Worms are ratified. So this is post the Great Schism. This is the Catholic Church. Obviously, long before the Reformation. This is the Catholic Church trying to get its house in order. So you've had the Great Schism in the 1050s, when the Eastern and Western churches split off from each other. They've got like the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Western Catholic Church. Anyway, by 1123, they decided that they needed loads more reforms. It's sort of some of the exact same things that come to a head during the Reformation of the early 16th century. They're already a massive problem in the early 12th century. Things like simony, the buying and selling of religious orders. You could buy or sell your way into being a priest or a bishop, or even a cardinal, perhaps. Simony. Trying to stamp down on that. Or that priests can get married. You're not supposed to be able to get married. You're supposed to be married to the church and be celibate. But they just really weren't doing that. Well, there's all sorts. There's loads of stuff. There's loads and loads of stuff. I think this is one of the ones where they wrote in stone for the first time, not literally, the powers of the Holy Roman Emperor. Because going back to Charlemagne, centuries before that, the papacy and the office of the Holy Roman Emperor was sort of got mixed up, and like the Holy Roman Emperor could help pick who the Pope is and stuff. And they wanted to change all of that. Anyway, there's loads to it. If you're interested in ecumenical history, it's a big one, important one. They tried to get it in order for centuries before someone like Martin Luther turns up. They never could. It's sort of many of the exact same things that Martin Luther would talk about centuries later. Or people before Martin Luther, people like John Wycliffe or Jan Hus. All right. On this day in the year 1314, Jacques de Molay, the 23rd and last Grand Master of the Knights Templar, is burned at the stake by King Philip IV of France. Yeah, it's the end of the Templars. That King Philip IV of France ended the Knights Templar. The crusading era was coming to an end, or had come to an end, really, mostly, almost entirely. And King Philip owed the Templars loads of money. So he like accused them of being criminals and heretics in various ways. And there's a whole long story. But eventually the upshot is he disbanded the Knights Templar entirely and executed all their leaders, particularly, famously, Jacques de Molay. Had him burnt alive on an island in the middle of the Seine in Paris. Interesting classic story. Okay, on this day in 1325, according to legend, Tenochtitlan is founded on this date on an island in what was then Lake Texcoco in the Valley of Mexico. Tenochtitlan is the site of modern-day Mexico City, isn't it? I believe so. Yeah, Mexico City. Mexico City is a giant, giant metropolis. It's one of the biggest cities in the world, Mexico City. Anyway, before that, it was Tenochtitlan. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Probably fluffing it a little bit. But also, that's relatively late. Or in my mind, the 14th century. You might think it goes back a lot further than that, but no. No, it doesn't. Okay, on this day in 1890, German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck resigns after 19 years... after a disagreement with German Emperor Wilhelm II. Yeah, if you're a history nerd, you've got to know all about Bismarck. Absolutely pivotal figure for the 19th century. Absolutely unbelievably pivotal. If it wasn't for him, there may not be a single unified Germany. the whole of Europe's history, the whole timeline of European history was altered by the career of Otto von Bismarck. And that Wilhelm II is Kaiser Bill. That's the Kaiser during World War I. And his father, was it Wilhelm I? Bismarck had just sort of bullied and browbeaten him into sort of being just a figurehead monarch. And Bismarck did all the business of government, set all policy, military and civilian. But when he died, that old Wilhelm I died of old age, of natural causes, and his son, Willy, Kaiser Bill, comes in. He was headstrong and egotistical and proud, and he didn't want the old man Bismarck telling him what he could or couldn't do and say. So he fired him. That's an interesting story. Bismarck thought he was sort of some sort of god emperor himself in the end. But, okay, he served at the pleasure of the king, the emperor. And he sort of lost sight of that on some level. I don't know. Okay, all right. On this day, 1922, British magistrates in India sentenced Mahatma Gandhi, meddling solicitor Mahatma Gandhi, backward Mahatma Gandhi, a wife-beater Mahatma Gandhi, to 6 years imprisonment for disobedience. Yeah, he was saying people in India just boycott all British goods, all British businesses, British schools, British cults. Boycott the cults. Peacefully, you know, but just boycott them. I think we could take a page out of his book, actually. I think we could learn one or two things from the great Mahatma. Perhaps we, in Britain in 2026, should boycott all foreign businesses. Don't spend your money in any of these disgusting third world businesses that have cropped up all over our towns and cities. Don't spend your money there. Don't give them a penny. They're sending most of it out of the country anyway. Why would you transfer our wealth to them? Yeah, don't do it. They're invaders. That's what they're here to do, transfer wealth from us to them. Don't just give it to them. No, find a native-owned business and patronise them where possible. All right, on this day, 1940, Benito Mussolini and Adolf Hitler meet at the Brenner Pass, where the Italian dictator agrees to join Germany's impending war effort in the West. Okay. Was that the one where Hitler turned up in civilian clothes and Mussolini turned up in, like, really elaborate military garb and Hitler was annoyed? Because it made him look... made Mussolini look so much better than him. I can't remember. Okay, on this day, 1965, Soviet cosmonaut Alexei Leonov leaves his spacecraft, Vostok 2, for 12 minutes and becomes the first person to conduct a spacewalk. There's a picture of it. If you believe that, I mean, many people believe that space entirely is fake and gay and it's all phony and fake and it's not possible. It's not real. The Soviets are in on it, of course, must be, right? Everything the Soviets ever claimed to do or produced evidence that they've done in space, all that must also be fake. Working perfectly in union with NASA and the Americans to maintain that lie. And the Chinese. And the European space agencies. And the Indian space agencies. And the Japanese space agencies. It's the biggest conspiracy of all time. That space is fake and gay. Or they just did do it. Or it's real. Make up your own mind. On this day in 1990, in the largest art heist in US history, 13 works of art worth over $500 million are stolen from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. Yeah, interesting. I did a segment before, didn't I? When the Louvre was broken into a few months back, and some of the French crown jewels, in inverted commas, crown jewels, were they only date from the age of Napoleon III. They're not like our crown jewels. I did a whole segment about heists, didn't I? Classic heists, famous heists throughout history. Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. All right, that's on the day in history. Let's do our Super Chats and Rumble Rants. It's already gone 9. So let's have a look. Oh, we've got a fair few Rumble Rants to get through. Let me do this so I can read it properly. Okay. Rumble rants, let's get through them. So is it a whole bunch from Luke, or the first few are from Luke, St. Luke? Luke Stewart 91 says, "G'day, Bo. Since Nigel loves to do those cameos, can we pay him to do an endorsement of the Restore Party? Hope your week's been pretty good. Mine's been flat out, finally been able to catch you live." Oh, great. Cool. Cheers. Thanks. Yeah, if he reads out anything, it seems. How are people, have people not got him to... Harry, you've actually watched it, right? Has anyone ever got him to say something that, like, to really, really criticise Reform or really, really big up Restore or...
I'm not sure anyone's been smart enough to do that yet.
All right. Think about it. Do it. I wonder if he'll do it. You said Nigel, 70 quid, and he will say he's really sorry he ever doubted Rupert Lowe's political judgment or something. Get him to say Reform is a containment project from top to bottom, always has been. Get him to say that he, Nigel, is compromised by MI5 or something. Okay. Rick TWGP says, "I thought you said you'd released Harry from his cave." Yeah, we've got to sort out the... Yeah, we thought we had sorted out the audio for some reason. Harry, you got to sort it out, bro. make it work. Get Samson to make it work perfectly. Okay. Luke says, "If Nigel has no clue what he's saying, can we get him to support candidates for Restore at the next election without him realising it?" Yeah, maybe if you couch it in Gen Z slang, then maybe. Kalogi says, "Chat is always here if you need to talk about what happened in the Epsonus with Andrew, Bo." In complete confidence, of course. I guess you're talking about just Epstein and Andrew there. Okay. The chat's always here. Cheers, Kalogi. Okay. That's a Random Name says, "Hi, Bo Dade here. I wish Philip Oliver Crevices..." Okay, you're going to say a load of things that are embarrassing and silly and get me... Look, Steve, you've got a soundbite of me saying... Should I just read it out anyway? Because I don't care. I'm never going to be an international statesman. Things like saying Mike Hunt. Right, just a whole list of funny things like that. Big Chungus. Okay. He finishes by saying, "Keep your cortisol low by jester maxing and mogging low T soy boys." That's what I do, really. Mogging low T soy boys. That's my bread and butter. Thing is, I actually know what these things are almost entirely. Like, classic, almost like Bart Simpson funny names, like Hugh Jazz. Is there a Hugh Jazz there? I'm looking for Hugh Jazz. Okay. But that's the thing, I'm not trying to be the Prime Minister. I'm not hoping to be taken very, very seriously on the international stage of, like, diplomacy and things. Like, hoping to be invited to Beijing and rub shoulders with, like, Xi Jinping. So it doesn't matter to me. But that is what Nigel's sort of aiming at, isn't it? All right, okay. Kalogi says, "Africans built everything. They built spacecraft that today we'd call UFOs. Then the European came along and stole all those futuristic inventions and tech using the inferior power of lies and dishonour." Yeah. Yeah. No, they invented everything, didn't they? They invented absolutely everything and we just stole it from them. They invented computers and the internet. And we just simply stole it from them. That's what happened. Kalogi also says, "Can we really call it replacement when the Africans are just taking back what they built in the first place?" Bo, can we really? No, I mean, you're quite right. No, I mean, of course, yeah. I mean, it was always theirs, wasn't it? Yeah. We just stole it off them briefly. They're just taking back what's rightly theirs. Quite right. No, quite right. Cassidwen says, "If we lose, all future civilizations with sense will learn from our fail and be more brutal, less open, more xenophobic, so they don't succumb to the fate of the overly generous white man." Right, yeah, but I mean, unfortunately, cycles like this have already happened a few times throughout history, basically, in various ways. Not exactly this, of course. History never exactly repeats, but it very, very often rhymes. So things like this have happened before. And it's the few among us can say, oh, look, this sort of thing has happened before. Look, here it happened in history. And the rest of the world just don't care. Or someone like Angela Rayner or whoever, Lisa Nandy, don't listen to you. Very, very deliberately, actively not listening to that. The lessons of history are there. Okay, have you got the YouTube chats? You have to bring them up on my screen for me, if you can do that. Okay, great. Okay, there's only half a dozen or so. We had more Rumble Rents and Super Chats. How about that? Okay. Oh, global church history is not first. Dude, your game's slipping. Year second, though. Someone got in before him. Mickey Red Eyes 26 got in before you, Global Church History, today. He didn't say anything. He just sneaked in. Just about pipped you to the post. Okay, but with the first actual comment of the day, so still undefeated streak in that sense. Global Church History says, my book, The Battle of Mbore, I've got no idea how you pronounce that. I'm sorry. Went out last night, available on Kindle. You got to check it out, Bo and Glorious Band. Also, Caligula made emperor today in 37 AD. Oh, very interesting. On Epochs of the Lotus Eaters, Bo Day's history themed show behind the paywall on lotuseaters.com, can consider subscribing for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership. On there, I've got some long form content all about Caligula. One that's just all about the life and reign of Caligula. And then another one with Josh talking about Roman Britain and Caligula's aborted attempt to invade Britain. So I'm talking about Caligula a couple of times. A couple of different times there. Caligula. Very interesting. Fascinating. Insane. The closest thing to like an actual serial killer, if the counts are to be believed. Some say he was just terribly maligned after the fact. And he wasn't as insane as someone like Suetonius says he was. Anyway, something like a serial killer, if the accounts are to be believed. Krish281 says, the idea of BBC having to sell off their PDF file statue above their door... Right, paedophile, okay. I could just say... I didn't have to sell off their paedophile statue above their door to pay off the Donald is amusing to me. Yeah, it'd be hilarious. Not sure who'd buy it, though. Plenty of potential buyers in Whitehall, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see if that guy from Hope Not Hate would want to buy it. Well, yeah, convicted paedophile worked for Hope Not Hate. He was convicted, wasn't he? He's actually fully convicted, so that's a matter of record. Can't take me to court for that. It's a matter of record, a matter of fact. Maybe he'd want to buy it. Mr. Gently Benevolent. So I shouldn't get Nige to do a cameo announcing you've won the Best Spice Carl Award then, Bo. Yeah, no, do. That would be hilarious. That would be hilarious. Imagine that, Nigel, read it out. I can announce Bo Dade is officially the Best Spice Carl. Now, give it a go. That would be funny, wouldn't it? Okay, and the last one for today. VixGB says, Bo, would you please be so kind to say... Wait a minute, I've just got to read this before you may well be embarrassed. Oh, no, not so bad. You've asked me to say, quote, don't have nightmares, do sleep well, quote. There you go. All right. Many thanks. Although, actually, I thought that was... Maybe I don't know where that quote's from. Maybe that's way more embarrassing than I thought it was. Harry, do you know what that quote's from? Is that some Gen Z thing? I don't know.
I have no clue.
Yeah, no, me neither. I feel like it's like maybe a Freddy Krueger line. Got no idea. I'll have to Google that in a minute. See how embarrassing that was or not. again, I'm not running to be the head of government, so it doesn't really matter, does it, one way or another? All right. Okay, well, that's the show then. That's the show. It's just ticked 15 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time. It is Wednesday, the 18th of March, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters, try and make the best of the day ahead. Oh, I'll be on the podcast today. On the podcast today, it'll be me, Dan Tubb, and retired squadron leader Tim Davies, RAF. That's a brilliant panel. That's a brilliant lineup, that is. So yeah, at like 1 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, check that out. All right, try and make the best of their head. If you've got any free time, try and, you know, try and make it count. It's the most valuable thing you've got is your time. Try and make it count, if you can. All right then, well, until tomorrow morning,